Hey folks, welcome. Susan Baracco here. Glad to have you. And I'm hoping you can hear me. If you would say hello in the chat so that I know that I'm coming through loud and clear. And hopefully you can see my screen too. If you can, would love to have you share. Hello there, Venkat and Donna, thank you. Beverly, hey, good. Glad you can all hear me. And as always, we start while we're waiting for a few more folks to join us. If you want to type in the chat, this is our fun question of starting with what's your all-time favorite movie? It's always fun to see what people like and what they're interested in. Favorite roommate. Monica says Amelie. I have not seen that. Wizard of Oz. It's cool. It's a great movie, Gone with the Wind and Chicken Run, Left Behind, the classic version. Great. Thanks for sharing, you guys. Lord of the Rings and Shawshank Redemption. User one, I'm not sure who that is. User one is how you're logged in. If you just type in what your first name is so I know who you are, that would be helpful. Thank you. Irene is here. Wendy. Venkat. Too many to list. Amy says Fifth Element, Shawshank. Princess Bride, that's probably my favorite. Lord of the Rings. I think Princess Bride and Moonstruck, believe it or not. Two of my favorite goofy movies. All right. Beverly, Donna, I said hello. Janet, Stephanie. Got a nice group here today. We have a lot of questions that got submitted ahead of time. I'm going to dive into those in a little bit, in just a few minutes. All right. Well, it's a few minutes after three, so I am going to just dive right in for us and get us going here. And as always, we love to start with hearing about good things that are going on out there for you folks. And so if you would type in a capital W in the chat and let us know what kind of a win you've had recently. I know there's some good stuff going on. Middle of the year like this, usually May, things really can get cooking and get busy. So would love to hear even a small win. Anything that you've had in the last week or two that you want to share so we can all celebrate together, that would be great. Donna says, I graduated from my Georgetown master's program on Friday. Wow, that is a major win. Congratulations. That's huge. Master's program. Whew, that's a lot of work. Good for you. Good for you. Janet says, new client adding more tasks to my monthly duties. Congratulations. New client. Love it. Let me see. Kit says more revenue in the past 2 weeks than all of last year. Woohoo! Working on AR, VR lab for Lavacon this fall. That's great. That's a wonderful win. See, I'm so glad we asked this question. That is so cool. Good for you, Kit. Venkat says joining this call after a long break. Good for you. Sometimes making the time to do this can be a little challenging. So I'm glad you're here. Irene says, repeat business from a new client who is a delight to work with. Yay! That's another happy dance win. Good for you. Oh, great clients are just, they make this all worthwhile. They really do. Monica, client loved my second blog post. Mini case study wants me to write two full-fledged case studies for two of their customers. Congratulations, Monica. Nice job. That's a great win, too. What a cool project for you coming up. Good, good. Let me see. Wendy says, picked up 2 new clients. Also going to write my 3rd article for Bi-Monthly Trade Mag. Congratulations. 2 new clients. Yeah, it's May. Things are rocking and rolling out there. That's great. Stephanie says, made it to my first coaching call. Yay. Glad you're here. Congratulations. Let me see. And then Dana says, my other business based on PR, a major piece of my dad's artwork is being acquired by MFA Boston. Holy moly. Congratulations. That's pretty cool. That's a big deal. Terry says she just completed a 2nd ad campaign for a client. Congratulations. Very nice. Great stuff. Great stuff going on. You guys are pretty busy. That's all good news. Love to hear that. Love it, love it. Well, I'd like to ask too, if you're implementing anything new, and if there's anything in the program right now that you're working on implementing, that you're trying, maybe you're trying a new approach that's working for you, anything that you're implementing right now, would love to hear about that. So if you would type an I in the chat and let me know. You've got anything in particular that you might be implementing or that you think you're, you know, that's going well. All right. Renee says she's working on a lead magnet and hope to start doing a few new things to my longtime LinkedIn account. Awesome. Good for you. Wendy's trying to implement a new regular content series for your blog and eventual newsletter. That's a fair amount of work. I saw recently, by the way, Wendy, excuse me, somebody, I don't know if it was in the Facebook group or there was some conversation about that. And I think the suggestion was instead of trying to come up with multiple lots and lots of ideas for content, which can be really challenging, is to come up with one a month and plan to just start with like one blog a month. That way, if you look at it from the perspective of I only need to come up with 12 ideas, 12 seems a little more manageable. So, but good for you. Kit is marketing her book from last year. Oh, love to, Kit, if you would share with us what the book title is and what it's about. We'd love to hear about that. Monica's creating my ideal work week and daily bucket template from the Accelerator program. That's wonderful. I'll tell you, it's a great tool. I learned that from Ed myself, and I stick with scheduling out my day and really following it. And it just, I can get through the day so much more in such a more calm manner. I don't feel like I'm stressed or running around or I'm not getting everything done that I need to do. It's really great to plan it out that week. So that way. So good for you. I think you'll really enjoy having that element of organization. Dana says, I'm trying to create a strategy for promoting more corporate communications strategy since I have this big project to fund my life over the summer. I want to transition by offering different writing. I will create my own content strategy for this. Sounds like you're pivoting a little bit, shifting to a new direction. Good for you. Beverly is using warm email templates, but sending handwritten letters instead. Very nice. I just read something. Who was writing? Oh, Anne Handley. I get her her newsletter, and she talked about the power of handwritten notes and things of that nature. So good for you. I think that's a really cool idea. Amy says she's drafted 2 lead magnets and several blog posts, working on content for your own website. Nice. This is a busy group. I love it. Irene says, trying to settle on a lead magnet topic. Don't have to settle on one. You could do a couple. It's always nice to have more than one. Venka, establishing a money-making website, not academy program, but something else to be working on. That's okay. You know, that's sometimes that's the way this works is, you know, having multiple things that you've got, that you have going. Dana says, yes, please share the book title. Pivoting a lot based on this degree I just got. Ah, good for you. And Beverly said, Ann Hanley, that's where you got it from too. Was, her latest email was, she's so much fun to read. She's such a great writer. So, Kit, language of localization, 52 terms you need to understand to properly work with. Whoops. Localization company is part of the language of series by the Content Wrangler. Wow. Congratulations. Ooh. Renee, yes, great resource. It's just so much fun to read. She's such a great writer. I love the way she's, I love the way she writes. Ann Hanley. Kit's learning DITA and working on retainer with a localization company that specializes in this. Helping with consulting and business development. Great. Oh gosh, Beverly, I didn't realize she was the keynote at AWAI Bootcamp. That's cool. She's so much fun. Yes, fangirling. I am right there with you. She is a cool woman. She's really a smart lady, and I love her her style. She's really a lot of fun. Very, very smart woman. She lives actually not too terribly far from me. She's, I believe she lives in the Boston area and has a place up here in Maine that she comes to in the summer. So yeah, she's a pretty cool lady for a lot of reasons. All right. Well, we have got a lot of questions that were pre-submitted. I've got probably five or six, I think, that were pre-submitted. If people are not on the call, a bunch of folks couldn't make it. So I want to touch on those and just read you the question. It might, I find that a lot of times the questions that are pre-submitted can be really helpful. So I'm going to read the question. I'm going to give you some ideas, some thoughts. And if you're here, I'll bring you on. But I don't think that any of you are on the call today. Renee, actually, you're here. And I have a question from you. And all right. So I'm going to dive right in and just do a little bit of reading through these because I'd like to get through them for the folks that are not able to make it. That's really kind of the idea behind pre-submitting a question is if you can't get to the call, we address it. And obviously the call is recorded. That way the people that perhaps have full-time jobs or a conflict, schedule conflict, can listen to this at their convenience. So I am going to start with a question from, and I apologize in advance if I mispronounce this, but I think it's Suja Natarajan. And Suja says, I am yet to land a B2B client. I don't have a sample to approach the companies with. I'd like to write up a sample and use it on spec samples to show my writing skills, maybe a white paper, case study, or something along those lines. Do you think it's a good idea to spend time on whipping up a white paper because I don't feel confident to go to a company without having anything to show them? And I imagine that many of you out there, you may be a little further along, maybe not, but I can imagine you can relate to in the beginning when you really don't have any samples to share, it can be pretty frustrating. So here's what we recommend, and Ed and I both feel the same way about these things. You could spend time writing something up just kind of out of the blue, but honestly what we recommend is that you should tap your network first and see if you can do this kind of work for a friend, a relative, or a friend of a friend, a colleague. See if there's anybody out there that you could do this for free. And the reason being is that when you're actually working on a real project, you're going to learn a lot more. You'll learn what it's like to actually manage this kind of a project, learn what it's like to manage the client, and plus that organization or that person will benefit. So it's kind of a nice win-win all the way around. Builds goodwill, really is just part of your education. And I don't think, you know, Ed feels strongly about this as well. It's not needing a lot of samples to get going. One or two is definitely enough. So we certainly don't want this to be a distraction to a point where you're spending all your time working on something that you're not getting paid for. But it is more concrete and I think more valid to show a sample, share a sample that was actually for an organization, for a company or an organization. So that's what we would recommend. And I definitely wanted to just share that out. And hopefully that'll be helpful for you. Kit says volunteering for a nonprofit you support also works. And that's very true. Definitely check with nonprofits and organizations that might need that kind of written support, but certainly can't afford it. And one or two. Don't go crazy with this. You only need a couple just to show, to demonstrate and your writing chops. So, and Renee, I saw your chat saying that you're here. I can actually jump to yours. These are in no particular order. And if you're here and you can't stay too long, I will definitely jump ahead to you. And I'm going to read your question first, and then I'll bring you on. Renee says, I'm not a new writer and I'm not a new freelancer, but I am a new freelance B2B writer who's been through a ton of courses and reading and has very little recent solid freelance writing experience. I'm clear on my positioning with a target market of learning, training, and development organizations. And I know that in the beginning, I'm supposed to say yes to any writing my target market asks for, but despite all my studying, I'll need hands-on experience to learn how to write different types of projects. And then I see in the chat, Renee, that you said that's exactly what you needed to hear when I answered the first question. I'd rather focus my learning by experience, time, and efforts on the B2B writing I really want to do and have studied the most, case studies and white papers. I feel as if saying yes to all the other things will distract my marketing and my hands-on practice and take away the limited time I have to go in the direction I truly want to go. Must I invest time in learning how to be a B2B generalist, or can I put on blinders and put all my focus on into learning how to write and become very good at case studies and white papers? So I am going to bring you on. Let me just see if I can find you here. Hold on, Renee. And I'm going to unmute you. Hello there, Renee. How you doing?
Hi, Susan. For now, I'm okay.
Good.
Once the noise starts in the background, we're having a major house catastrophe. So
Oh.
people running around and backhoes and jackhammers. So I might be able to stay on muted, but I sure don't want anybody to have to listen to what I'm about to listen to.
Okay. Well, if I hear that, I'll click you off if it gets to a point where it's distracting. So I'll just click you off.
Thanks.
All right. Well, this is a really great question, and I know I touched on it a little bit answering the first question, just in terms of having a sample and that kind of thing. Did that help, or do you feel like
It
you can
helped
work?
it for that specific one. I have been going back and forth on that particular issue. I started out with the plan that I would do a white paper for someone for free or low cost. And then the more I thought about it, I thought, wow, if I just kind of jump in there and do one myself as a sample on my website, I could do it so much more quickly because, gosh, I'm the client and I don't have to work with anyone else. I can just get this ripped out and put up. But what you said, and of course, you're in agreement with Ed on that. So, what the two of you say about this, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So, for that, I can see my putting on the brakes and actually taking a little bit more time and finding someone that I could do it for as a real. Even if free or cheap white paper. So yes, that answered that question. But where I came from on the rest of my question is I know something from studying about writing articles and blogs and lead magnets and web page copy and all of the other B2B things that come up. But honestly need to have that hands-on experience, to feel comfortable in doing that. And if I'm doing that and saying yes to all of those opportunities, then when am I going to have time in my limited sphere to get good at the white papers and the case studies? And how am I going to tell my target market that, hey, white papers and case studies see me, when they're just seeing me as someone who will do all of it?
All of it. Understood. Yeah. I think, you know, the one thing to think about is really what your goals are and what your financial situation is. And I think that kind of drives everything for folks, right? Because we're looking at, you know, if you're trying to reach a certain income level as quickly as possible, you know, like a consistent income, then you might lean more towards saying, yeah, I'll do as much as I can. I'll take the work that comes my way with the intention of getting that income flowing and then starting to move away from that as you go. And kind of let the market kind of show you which way to go. That's one philosophy. Mm-hmm. That's if you're looking to get this ramped up quickly. If you have a little more time to reach your income goals, you could focus more on the case studies and white papers. And I would definitely do, especially case study white papers, go for some low-hanging fruit, like I was talking about, and saying, you know what, there's a nonprofit I could write something for, or there's a smaller company that doesn't have a budget. Maybe they'll pay me just a couple $100 to get you going. Because I think it's, you know, I use the word valid. I think if it's a white paper or a case study that's been written for a real organization, it's going to teach you more and help you more. And you also may be able to get testimonials out of this. I mean, I think there's more benefit to actually doing one, even if it's for free for this time, you know, for at least one to get it under your belt. I mean, does that help?
It helps so much. Just clarifying how I can make that decision on my focus makes a world of difference, because so much of what I hear is generic, and what you have said is this is the situation that you need to look at for yourself and make your decision based on that. So that absolutely was a great help. And then going back to my writing the white paper for someone, I'm a believer. You've convinced me. So that's the direction I'm going to go.
It feels genuine. Do you know what I mean? It just kind of moves you to that place. So, you know what? This is a real paper that someone really actually asked me to write, as opposed to, well, I kind of made it up. It just feels more genuine. And I think it will to anyone that you share it with as well. It's just, hey, I wrote this, you know, and you don't have to say you did it for free. No one has to know that except you and the person that you write it for, or the organization you write it for. But once you start using it as a sample, it's a sample. Hey, it's a white paper I wrote, period. And it doesn't matter if I got paid for it or not. No one has to know that piece. So,
absolutely. Yeah. That is great. Cool. Thank you so much, Susan.
You're very really welcome. It. Good luck with that house stuff. My goodness.
Oh, you don't even want to know.
Nope. Houses yet, that love-hate relationship with the house, you know.
Yeah, and that might actually make all the difference on that financial situation question.
No doubt. All right. Well, good luck, Renee, and keep us posted in the Facebook group. Let us know if you need any more feedback.
Thank you.
All right. Awesome. Good, good, good. Well, I'm glad we got that through that without any interruption in the background. Thanks for a great question. Awesome. All right, let me see. A few more people have joined since we've been talking. Kelly joined us. Peggy, I think. Terry and Deb. Oh, good. Deb is here. I am going to read. Let's see. I'm going to read Nicole. I don't see Nicole on the line. I don't see her on the call. So I'm going to read hers to make sure we get that in. Nicole Kolasar submitted a question, and her question is, I have a question about choosing a niche. I understand the importance of and the financial value of choosing a niche. I currently work in B2B, primarily with corporate wellness program providers. I chose this niche because of my passion for health and wellness and from my being a personal trainer. However, I enjoy working with different types of companies in addition to corporate wellness companies. My question is this, is being a freelancer who specializes in working with B2B companies niche enough, or should I stick with my chosen niche? And this is a question that I have no doubt many of you, if not all of you, can relate to. I think one of the big challenges when you get into freelancing is how do I position myself? And we, Ed and I work with lots of you and a number of different programs that that Ed offers, where positioning is so important to make sure that you have it down. And our natural our natural desire is to make our niche really big so that we can, you know, get as much business as possible. That's not necessarily a good thing. It's a bit of a misconception about picking a target market once you do. And I think one of the misconceptions is that no one else is going to want to work with you. So if I say I'm a writer that specializes working with wellness, health and wellness companies, that doesn't mean that you won't get business from other types of companies. That happens all the time. I personally position myself as a resource for women. And I'm a writer who supports women, but I've had several men as clients and it's been great. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you won't get any of those companies coming in and asking you for help. So I think that, you know, you want to really do put that stick in the ground and make it easier for the prospects you want to find you and pick you over somebody else who's a generalist. Being a generalist is really, got to be careful about that. It's not a great place to park yourself. You definitely want to broaden. You definitely want to kind of focus that down, but it doesn't mean that it eliminates your chances to work with anyone, really. One idea is to keep your target market, and this, Nicole, is specifically for you, broad enough that it'll work for a larger group. So what I'm thinking is pick healthcare rather than that corporate wellness. So maybe just level up one and say, I'm a healthcare and I specialize in working with the following types of companies. So you are a healthcare writer, which gives you, you know, it kind of broadens that a little, but then you can always say in your web copy, on your website, hey, I have I specialize or have a background in, or I love working with all different types of companies in the healthcare field, but I have extensive experience with corporate wellness and that kind of thing. And you can always include copy on your site that says, besides healthcare companies, that you also work with a variety of businesses, including A, B, and C, something along those lines. So, so you've got some flexibility there, but I would definitely broaden it just a little to that healthcare, like I said, level up and step up to that healthcare level, but then make sure that your copy is clear on your website, that you work with, you know, depending on your background and your experience, that it reflects that so that the right people will still come and find you and you'll still be able to get work from the core businesses that you're targeting. I hope that's helpful. Awesome. Good question. Figuring out your niche is so hard. Really is hard. I remember when I started doing what I'm doing now, which is ghostwriting and editing and working, helping people, women in particular, get their books out in the world. And I was actually working with Ed, and he said, you know, you've got such a strong background working with women. I've been doing that with executive level women, different groups and things that I've been involved in. And I have 15 years of experience. And he said, you know, you really should just focus on serving women. And I thought, you know, effectively, I'm going to eliminate half the population of the planet by doing that. And I'm not sure that I feel comfortable with that. But it turned out that, you know, I made that decision and it's been the best thing I've ever done. Because as I said, I still get men approaching me saying, hey, can you help me with my book? Absolutely, I can. I've had some great projects, but I still just market to that one particular target market, and it works. It just works for me. I enjoy working with women. It's a great focus for me. I have a great background. So when people look at my background, they say, yeah, you know what? She's going to be great to work with because of that. And it speaks to the right people. So definitely want to consider that, how you might align yourself. All right, Janet, I see that you posted in the chat. I'm going to need to jump off. So yes, I do have your question that you pre-submitted. Let me read that for everybody. All right. And she has a pricing question. I love these because it is really hard to figure out sometimes. And it's nice to have somebody to bounce some ideas off of for pricing. Janet says, I have a new client, an advertising firm with a wastewater client for whom I write blogs. It was twice per month, but I think they've decided once per month will be adequate. I originally priced a 1,000-word blog for 1,000 each, but that was too high, so I revised that to 300 to 400 words at 450 each. Now they're asking that I write a weekly social media post, too, that will be posted on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. I blasted one out last week, the day they asked for it, in just a few minutes because it was a topic I knew a lot about and had a huge file of research on. And I don't know how long it will take for most of them, but since I agonize over most everything too much, I figure an hour or more. I don't know how to price this. I know they're on a tight budget with their client, and for the steady work, that would get easier the more I understand their client. They only have one product. I'm willing to provide a discount. They want them priced in blocks of four. Is $150 enough? Too much? I truly have no clue. I'm talking with them this week. And they've also asked for a consult fee the first time we talked. And since I hadn't really done that, I just said $50 an hour. Before, I just considered consulting like interviewing and lumped it into client development and let it go. I know I get over $100 an hour for my engineering work, but that seems high. What would be reasonable? So Janet, let me find you here. I'm going to unmute you. Hey, Janet, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello there. Thanks for putting in the chat.
Hi. Yep.
So
thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like you have a pretty good rapport with this client. Is that, would you say that's fair to say? Sounds like you got a good relationship.
I do so far. I mean, again, it's a very new client.
Okay.
And they're an advertising agency. They had this one wastewater treatment client who has this one product.
Okay.
And I'm not quite sure how they found me, perhaps on LinkedIn, and seemed to really enjoy having me on the team, and It's they're just so relieved they found me.
Great.
But I am noticing a lot of scope creep. For instance, I did a blog last week. I sent it to them. We went back and forth. We got the client, you know, to approve it. Everything was fine. And then today it's kind of like, yeah, well, now you need to find a picture. And, of course, it has to be free. And, you know, we spent an hour looking through the photo gallery that they've bought
collected
into.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Getty Images or something.
Yes.
And they didn't have anything really suitable, but I found something that'll kind of sort of maybe work. And, you know, it's not going to detract. And as I said, you can use any of these wastewater things, but, you know, they're all clarifiers because that's what everybody just takes pictures of. But that really doesn't enhance the story. So and then he wanted me to look at their SEO words and just, you know, is this enough? Is this the right ones? And
okay.
I'm going, you know, I don't do SEO as part of my thing,
right.
Routinely. I said, yes, those are the things that I would have used and that I think that most of, you know, the wastewater people out there, the engineers, et cetera, are going to use. But so I just, I'm,
struggling.
I'm aware that it's a lot of hand-holding, and I guess they're wanting me to do a consult fee, but, you know, I'm wondering, they were saying, yes, and we're going to want you to do some PR things from time to time. And I finally just said, I said, what do you mean by that? And they said, well, take one of these blogs and submit it for a trade journal. And I said, it's way too short to be a trade journal article.
Sure. So,
yeah, that, you know, 400 words is not enough for a trade journal article.
No, gosh, no. Well,
and I said, you know, that's going to need a lot more meat than one of these reading 15 seconds blog kind of thing. So I said, let's just do that on a case-by-case basis. So, okay. But I just, again, the social media thing, I did throw out the 150 for four number, and they said, fine. So I guess that's what I'm going with. But okay. I'd really like to know if that's reasonable. I'm thinking that that's probably, unless I get really good at just being a kind of, I hate being off the cuff about that.
Oh yeah. Oh no, you don't really want to. Yeah, you don't really, if you can help it.
But you know, again, I banged that other one out in 15 minutes.
But
and that included going to my file, finding the reference that I wanted to use, pulling up the graphic, you know, and going with it.
So, it sounds like, you know, I'm glad you used the term scope creep, because that sounds exactly like what's happening here. And what I would really recommend is that you put a, what I like to say is a stick in the spokes of that wheel right away. And so here's probably what you might want to think about doing is saying, I'd like to, you know, request time to either have a phone call, or I don't know if they're near you and it's, you know, an in-person meeting is possible, but to have a phone call to just talk about what their expectations are, because this is all about managing expectations. And what I would recommend that you do is put together a scope of work type of a sheet saying, here's what I will do, here's what it includes, here's what I won't do, here's what it doesn't include, and decide for yourself. Because for me, a red flag is you wasting any time looking at pictures to try and decide on an image for an article or a blog or a social media post, unless you're being paid for that time. So we definitely.
Well, that's the thing is that they're saying, okay, I think they're willing to pay. I mean, I'm going to be on this call tomorrow,
right?
And there's a call every week, and they're wanting to have a call with me at least every other week, if not every week. And I guess I just need to float it and say, are you willing to pay me $50 an hour for these phone calls where all I do is look for pictures?
Well, actually, I wouldn't approach it that way and ask that question.
No, I wouldn't approach it that way either. I mean,
No. What I would do is...
I'm providing non-technical support.
Correct. And that's why I'm saying it's time for you to write something up for them to say, I'm going to submit this to you, and maybe do that ahead of time and say, and then we'll talk about it on our next call. But here's what, based on what I see developing, I really want to work with you. I'm really interested, but here's what, so if you want me to do this, here's how much it'll cost. If you want me to do that, here's how much it'll cost. And really lay it out for them, because what they're going to do is continue to take advantage of your goodwill and continue to just, oh, can you do this and can you do that? No, I will, but you have to pay me for it. So I really want you to get very clear about, you know, spend some time, sit down and say, okay, here's all the things that they've either asked me to do, told me they might ask me to do, whatever the case may be, and get it in writing and say, as of today, this is what I'll charge. I'm happy to do this work for you, but here's what it's going to cost you, just so that you know. So you can ask me, but just know that there's a fee involved for my time. Because I certainly, yeah. This happens all the time, especially if it's an agency or an advertiser. They're going to keep doing that. They're going to keep chomping away and taking little bites. And before you know, it's... You know, it's
well, I feel for them because they clearly have no clue about the industry.
Right.
They're very good at the diagnostics and at the tracking of what sure. blogs got clicks through and did this work and did that work. They're very good at that.
Mm-hmm.
But they have no idea what they're looking at when they look at pictures. And I've, sure. and I'll be honest, I've been doing this now for, I guess, 7 years, and it just seems to keep morphing. I've not had a good track record with ad agencies because one of them in particular, they just on their calls or on their, you know, they have a shared place where they were doing things that the client couldn't see, where they were hashing out stuff. And I understand, you know, office scuttlebutt, but they were being derogatory towards not only the clients, but engineers. You know, and about the third time they said on conference calls, well, you're an engineer, so you see things in black and white. I just said, no, I see a lot of colors.
Well, are they?
You need to understand your audience,
mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to. They seem this group seems a lot more appreciative. The other group was I had the client, and then they brought in an ad agency and said, "And you will be working with Janet," and we did for about two or three different projects. And then they got gone. I hung around for a while, but I have not had the level of work with that company that I had before them.
Hmm.
So I'm a little gun shy.
Yeah. So I have to say that this would be a point where I would ask, you know, is this still a good client for you? I mean, is this, only you can answer that. I'm not asking you to answer that off the top of your head, but to think about, you know, is this client going to continue to be the best client for me, or should I, you know, finish out what I have with them and move on? Is it something that you want to continue to do or not? And there's actually,
I think if I can train them,
well, good luck with that. Herd and cats.
Managing expectations. I think if they seem very appreciative.
Yeah.
The call that we had a week or so ago with the client, when the client and I started talking directly to each other on the call, I could tell when I talked with them afterwards that they were almost audibly sighing with relief of finally somebody that can understand what these folks are saying.
Your industry,
we don't have a clue.
Yeah. Yep.
So I think that they are very appreciative and that they understand, or at least are trying to understand, the industry a bit better. It's a strange industry, and we're a little stuck in the mud.
Well, the best way to train them, honestly, Janet, is to have it in black and white. And I apologize for using that term because I know that that's, but to
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Here's what I here are my services based on what your needs have been, and as they develop, I'll add more. And then every, you know, 3 months, I'm going to revise these prices to make sure they're still appropriate based on what you're asking me to do. I'd add that right in on the bottom, say, you know, these are subject to change based on scope of work and your
on level of effort.
And make it clear, like, look, every 3 months, I'm going to review this with you and make sure that we're still on the same page. And, you know, I reserve the right to increase the prices based on the workload, because it's, you know, what you're doing today, right this minute, this week, could change next
right.
week. And it is, right? This is what I'm hearing you say, is that it's changing. So
right.
you want to get that in writing and get that in front of them and get a conversation going without any clients on the call, but just a conversation between you and this agency to say, look.
And the agency, right. Technically, the agency is my client.
Correct. But you don't want any of your clients on the phone with you, obviously, when you're doing
it. Right.
But you definitely want to have
and
that.
And technically, they're the ones that have to be pleased with how it's going, and I'm hoping that they will be pleased if their client is pleased.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. That's the way it works. But I would definitely recommend take the time, write down everything they've asked you to do and anything that they've, you know, again, just floated saying, hey, would you do this? Write it all down and come up with pricing. And if you would like, put that together and post it in the Facebook group. And that way you can get some feedback there, perhaps from me, from Ed, once you get your pricing together to see, is this, you know, is this fair? And then again, I reserve the right to adjust these prices accordingly based on workload and scope, and make sure you add okay. that on in writing at the bottom, you know, and to say, you know, I'm in this to take great care of you. I want to keep you as a client, but it needs to be a win-win situation.
Sure. It's a little after the fact now, but does that 150 for four social 100 word social media posts sound reasonable?
It's a little low for my liking. I think it's especially if it's something that you have to do research for. The other question I was going to ask you about is, do they have any strategy? I mean, are you building a strategy for that, for those?
What they want to do is they want two of the posts to kind of address the blog.
Okay.
Or link back to the latest, greatest blog or one of the blogs or a white paper or something. And the other to be kind of a general interest, but gotcha. Still in that something that would point towards their client's product. Their client makes a product that helps remove phosphorus from wastewater. So
there's no strategy involved. So
I'm not sure what you mean by strategy. So there's my ignorance.
No, but you're so
they have blog titles. And they initially said, we have blog titles and we have background information, and it's on our, their kind of their Dropbox, their Google Docs thing. What I do is I go there and there's a title, and then I click on it to see what the background is, and it's an empty folder.
Gotcha.
So
that's,
you know, for this last one, I interviewed their client, and I think I'm going to have to do that for the next two.
Yeah, see, if there's interviewing involved, then yeah, that's definitely not enough money. So that's why.
So that's the blog, and then I can can develop the Facebook post that they then edit it down Twitter.
Gotcha.
And they post it on LinkedIn. But I can do that.
The other thing that I would...
Pointing back... But again, if I've got to find a free picture for them,
that's time consuming.
That takes a lot of time. Yeah.
And I would either say, look, I'm not going to do that piece. It's not going to be included moving forward if you don't want to. Or definitely up the price if you're spending that kind of time. The other thing that...
Well, especially if they have to find one that's free.
Yeah.
You know, that's a stock photo that doesn't have a copyright...
Correct.
...issue.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. The other thing you might think about is doing a little research to see if... because sometimes people who specialize in social media management for clients, they'll post their pricing. So you might want to poke around a little bit, see if you can find... some pricing out there that some people put it on their website, some don't, but you might be able to stumble across some and get a sense of just kind of to have as comparison so that you can see how you fare. But for me, it just sounds a little bit low. But
Okay.
All right. Well, listen, I'm
going to
do that,
and I'll go back in the AWAI and kind of just maybe even go on one of their forums and just ask.
Yeah.
Hey, you social media types.
Yeah, exactly. See if you can crowdsource.
What do you charge to do a post/Twitter/LinkedIn
right.
post?
Right. And there's also, I do want to call your attention, Janet, some folks have been making comments in the chat. So definitely take a look. They've got some really great ideas for you in the chat And I'm going to let you go because I have, we're running out of time and I've got a couple of other people
that sorry I want about
to. Oh, not a problem. Not a problem. But I definitely want to, I think we've got you off to a good start, hopefully. And if you need more support, feel free to post your prices or any questions that you have in the Facebook group so that we can help you out.
And, okay. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. And good luck.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. And thanks for the folks who were making some comments there in the chat for Janet while we were talking. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. All right. I have two other pre-submitted questions. And I think I am going to, we're getting short on time. I'm going to read one from Gabe. I'm going to take a quick look here, and I don't see that Gabe is on the phone. I mean, on the call today. So let me just read through this, and it's something too that that I think many of you might find helpful. So Gabe submitted this question: can you please walk me through the step-by-step process to make sure you're on target with what the client expects once you get a project? This could be a creative brief, phone interview, or anything else to ensure that you're on target with expectations. It may be difficult to answer through email, so I've submitted it here. So here's what we recommend for this. And you should have a basic internal process in place, and it should have something like this. You want to think about the project and plug in these types of items on the way along the way. So, and again, you can edit this and make it your own, but you start off with perhaps a kickoff call where you're asking questions and learning about the project, getting more details. Then you create a creative brief or some kind of an outline. Then you have a creative brief or outline phone discussion. So after you've listened to their initial thoughts, you write down, capture what you think they want, let them look at that, and then you have a phone conversation to fine-tune that together. You finalize a creative brief or outline and submit that to them. Then you do your research, do your interviews, whatever else is part of the process or part of that project. Come up with a first draft. Have some type of a review process. And then create that final draft. The most important thing that is a takeaway for anybody on the call listening today, Gabe or anyone else who might be struggling with this piece, is that it's really important that you lead the process. And that because simply it positions you as a trusted expert when you actually have a really well laid out process. It doesn't have to be extensive and long, but just a few different milestones, if you will, that help guide any kind of a project. You also, I just think it positions you as more confident, and it also, again, positions you as an expert. But you need to have a little bit of flexibility because sometimes a client actually wants to drive the process. So if you have an existing process already and you have a client who's interested in doing that, be willing to incorporate some of their milestones or their points that that they might want to cover as well within and weave those into your process and give them some room to do that if and when it happens. So hoping that that was helpful for you, Gabe. All right. And Deborah, I know you are on the call. Let me see if I can find you. All right, Deborah, I think you are dialed in on the phone. So I am gonna read your question. I think we'll be able to sneak you in. We've got a couple of minutes left, but I definitely wanna sneak you in. Deborah says, I have a client who has a technical white paper that was written by an engineer slash analyst and really needs to be reformatted to make it more readable. She now wants me to write an executive summary for it. How much would I charge to write a one-page executive summary? This, again, pricing questions. The second part B of her question is, she also is waiting for one of the other executives to make his edits. Then she wants me to do the final edits and suggest things like callouts, charts, etc. to make it more readable and visual. And how would I charge for that? So Deborah, and she says her goal is to get a white paper contract from them in the future, including other content, to repackage it. So Deborah, I think that's you. Are you there?
Hi, Susan. Yes, it's me.
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
Good.
I'm doing great, thanks.
Good, good. Well, this sounds like a great opportunity. It's a slightly different opportunity, but definitely sounds like it's something that would be a good thing for you to get your foot in the door with these folks. So
it's kind of backwards, but I'll tell you what, the analyst was paid a very high amount of money for this white paper, and it was very poorly written.
Yeah. Happens all the time.
Yeah, real. Yeah, real. I was probably the worst I've ever seen. I couldn't believe.
Oh my!
Believe it. But anyway.
Okay.
So I actually did, just to kind of show her, I did an infographic for them on that particular white paper, and she right away saw what I meant, what I was talking about.
Gotcha.
So she loved the infographic, and we're just doing edits on it now. So that's when she said, "I want you to do an executive summary because this is missing it." And then she wants me to do edits and give them suggestions. And that's where this whole thing, I know it's backwards,
gotcha,
but that's where this whole thing came from.
Yep. Okay. So have you talked about money? Because that's always the first thing that Ed recommends, is always talk about money right up front. Have you asked them if they have a budget for this, these changes that they want to make, or the things that you're, did that come up?
Well, the funny thing is, actually, no, I usually do, and I don't know why. I just kind of spaced on this. She just said, I want you to do the executive summary. So gotcha. I just spaced because it's all backwards.
Okay, yeah, not a problem. So, well, a couple of things to think about is, you know, you just said that the white paper is just really not well written. So, if you haven't talked about money, it's fine. But so what you want to be thinking about is, you know, is the white paper, what does it look like right now? Obviously, need some help. How is organized is the information, and what their expectations are in regards to this? Like, how long do you think it would take you to draft the summary? And, you know, kind of figure out just if it's X number of hours times, you know, a nice healthy markup, you know, just to give yourself an idea. Start with that. So what do you think needs to be done? And then build your time into it. And then just ask, like, oh, does something in the neighborhood of maybe $500 sound like that would work for you? You know, and just so you're coming up with a ballpark. The other thing that I would do is bundle these two things together, if at all possible, so that it includes both the summary and the work. And that way they can't cherry pick. It's like, yep, I'll do all of that for X amount of money. And
so let's say, so 500 for the executive summary, and then how would you bundle in, because I'm not exactly sure what edits she's going to do on there.
See, that's a big question and a big missing piece of information. You might look at, depending on this is, you know, taking this white paper and turning it into something that's readable and more approachable and more effective. That's high value work. You know, that's something that's going to take you some time. You know, I'd quote somewhere like in the $1,000 range to do something like that. I mean, if you've already had a look at the white paper, you know, it's a disaster. And then maybe bundle the two together and say, okay, I'll do everything for $1,500 flat. Something along those lines.
Okay. And then when you say like you don't mean to actually, like, would I actually like present this to their graphic designer, or are you saying that I would do the template as well? She wants call outs and stuff. So would you, when you're saying 1500, like, she wants me to give them ideas for call outs and things like that. Cause there's nothing, there's just like paragraphs. And he has like very poor subtitles and things
draw the reader through. The whole package. Absolutely. And I mean, if that's
and that includes the template.
Yeah. I think you'd be looking at, you know, the call outs, final edits, recommendations, just the whole package. And if that doesn't feel right to you and you think you should charge more, I mean, I'm trying to give you like a ballpark or an idea of, you know, I think for, for you, it's a matter of looking at the project and saying how much time. So let's say, put a stick in the sand and say, you know what, if I were to do this right, this is what I would do. I would, you know, maybe just, you know, make the suggestions, all your recommendations, and then how long do you think that would take? And maybe go through it and estimate and say, you know what, if it's 3 hours, is it 5 hours? Is it 10 hours? How long do you think it's going to take you? And then back into your number from there. Because it might be more than
that. Let's say if it takes 4 hours. So then how would I figure that out? Or even let's say 5 hours.
Okay. 5 hours. Yeah. And then you'd probably want $200 an hour. And that'll give you your $1,000. Right?
Okay.
Because you don't want to do this work for less than that. If it's a technical document and you bring an expertise to the table that they're not going to be able to find anywhere else, and you can really make this thing shine, that's a very fair price.
And then also, because I know there'll just be a few changes to the infographic, I could just throw that in there and just say,
yeah,
how does 1500 sound? Yeah, okay.
For everything. And, you know, the other question, so one page executive summary of that, you know, I almost feel like it's the cart before the horse. You'd make all your recommendations for the white paper first and then do the executive summary, because you've got to fix that thing up before you can really do a good summary. And I'd recommend that, you know, definitely advise them, be the consultant on this, and come and say, look, here's, you know, if I had the opportunity to do it exactly right, here's what I recommend. And here's what I would do for you. And this is the process I would follow. And so therefore, here's what I would charge.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, the process.
Yeah, definitely. Because the more you talk about process with people, the more they go, oh, she actually knows what she's doing, you know, because you do know what you're doing. It's just a matter of making sure that you express that to them in a way that they say, oh, yeah, it makes sense. You know, that makes a lot of sense. Just like what I was just talking about for Gabe, is having that, here's my process, here's how I would handle this, and explain that to them. I think they'll appreciate the fact that you're going to pay me $1,500, but you're going to get a process and you're going to get this fixed and done right. And you don't want to be, negative or, you know, disparaging to the person who came before you, but just, you know, I can see a number of areas already. Here's what I would do, and here's how this would work.
Yeah, I basically told her, you know, the information is really good, but it needs to be presented in a better light for people to really want to read it and understand it. And then she got it.
Right.
Like she gets it. Okay. Oh, that's a great idea. And then if I were to write in the future information for an infographic, what do you charge for the writing part of it? I'm just curious.
Oh, gosh. I personally don't do those. It's not something that I offer. But an infographic, it really depends, you know, it depends on how long it is, and what the basis of that infographic is from. So is it summarizing a white paper? If that's the case, then, you know, how much, and then how, because you're not obviously charging per word, you're looking at, you know, is the white paper well written enough that I can easily pull out key points and plug it into that infographic? You know, so that's the thing you want to think about.
When I did that for them, I was on a contract. I was getting a lot of money a month. So it was before the contract was, you know, closed. And so I'm just doing the edits on it. But I actually did the design too, because I have a tool that I use that like, VisMe. Yeah, so I did the whole thing. It was just easier that way.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious in the future, because she loved it and she wants more. I've got to figure out.
Oh, yeah.
I have to now go down to hourly and, you know, figure out how much it would be.
Yes, for your, but per project, I would give her a range, you know, say anywhere from, depending on the document that it's based on, anywhere from 500 to 1,000 or something like that. You know, give her a range so that she could say, oh, okay. But it's going to be priced case by case, because you know, if she hands you a white paper and again, it's a disaster and you're like, ugh, you're slogging through it saying, I can't even figure out what the key points are. It's going to take you more time to unearth those things So that's why you want to have a range. I wouldn't say, oh, it's going to be $500 every time. Well, what if, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes right. you lose. I wouldn't want to lose too often.
Yeah. No,
you know,
no, that's a good idea. That's a great idea. And then the process too is really important.
Absolutely.
That's great. Absolutely. And, you know, I just wanted to say one thing about, I know there were two people that asked about, they didn't have samples of white yes. papers or case studies. My very first white paper that I did several years ago was a free white paper. I put a ton of work into it. It was an incredible document. I interviewed both founders and of a company. I did it for, it was a small SMB company in a space that I didn't know anything about. It was in the military, and it worked out really well. They absolutely loved it.
That's
I
great.
Did a lot of research on it, put a lot of time into it. And I got several projects from them after.
That's
so
cool.
When you're doing this, even if you do it free, if they really like it, you're going to get business from them.
Absolutely. That's great. Thank you for
and
sharing
it was a
that.
Great piece. Yeah, it was a great piece for my portfolio. So
oh, yeah.
even though, you know, I didn't get $4,000 or $5,000 for it, in the end, I think it was probably worth more than that.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Sometimes we just forget that. Sometimes you got to start somewhere. I've done some pretty cheap projects in my life because I wanted, you know, in my early
yeah.
parts of my career, you know, I've edited books that, oh my gosh, I'm thinking, I can't believe I only charged them that much money because it was killing me. They're like, oh, can you check one more thing and this and that. So sometimes you have to do that to just get the momentum and get that,
sure.
get that testimonial, get that, and get that sample on your website. It's worth it. So thank you for sharing.
And it
that.
Looks professional and they know yeah. it's, you know, from a customer and now
it's
it really
real.
Was a customer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's great. Well, thank you. Thank you for,
thanks, Susan.
In. I'm going to let you go and good luck. Let us know how that works
thank
out.
Thank you.
Definitely post on the Facebook.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
And hey, folks, I see everybody asking for the process to be posted in the Facebook group. The question from Gabe about, the process. Happy to do that. I will get that out in the Facebook group, hopefully in the next day or so. I'll try and get it done by the end of the week before our holiday week. So thank you, folks. It's a little after 4. I'm going to let everybody go. If I didn't get to your question, I'm going to post it. I think there was one other short question. I'm going to post an answer to that in the Facebook group. So thank you guys. Have an awesome, awesome rest of the week. A great holiday. If you're here in the US, we have Memorial Day coming up. We have a long weekend. Enjoy, and we'll see you on Facebook.